Check one, check two. Data transfer, season 2, episode 19. I'm Audrey.
I should have been doing inserts. I'm Corolla. I couldn't think of any. You had me on the spot.
What? What's going on, babe? How you been? It's been a little bit.
I'm alive.
Yeah. How alive?
Okay. So
the correct answer to that from the Aesop Rock song, Keep Off the Lawn, is Too Alive.
Too Alive. Okay, interesting.
How alive, too alive, how alive, too alive.
Thank you. Thank you for broadening my hip-hop horizons, babe. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. 2007's None Shall Pass, great album.
I've been restless as heck. I got good stuff on the horizon, but it's good. At least a month away.
Yep.
And in the meantime, it's too cold to bike, and I've been restless as fuck. I just want to get out there on the bike and go pedal around.
Go zoom about.
And it's just so fucking cold, and I only have so many, like, winter weather outfits.
Yeah. That is something that is a very exciting time of year as a woman that I never experienced when I was a mask-presenting person, is that you put away your winter clothes and you get out the summer stuff.
Yeah.
And the same, you get kind of excited when you put away your summer stuff and you bring out your fall and winter stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of cool. It's like you become like your skin. You get a different skin for the season. Yeah. It's cool.
You're cool.
You're cool.
How are you doing?
I'm not quite as fucked up as you are, but I'm a little fucked up. I'm a little...
Oh, yeah, I am cross-faded right now. There's that also.
Yeah, I'm a little faded out. I'm a little, you know, like, if there's, like, a shop, and that shop has natural light coming in through the window, and there's, like, a display near the window, and there's something that's been there for a long time, and the cardboard's kind of faded, that's me. I'm the faded cardboard.
Just a little bit sun-bleached.
Just a little sun-bleached right now. Because I went down to the rental office to pay my rent for February. You may note that it is the 6th of February. But they're, because of the odd situation with my apartment building being in foreclosure, they're like really lax about when I get them the rent. They're like, yeah, just whenever you want to pay that, that's fine.
Okay.
Which is great. But I made it all the way down there with the money order. And I hadn't filled out the money order because I was going to do it when I got to the office. And I walk up to the doors and there's nobody there. There's just like a little, there's an arrow pointing towards a Dropbox. And I'm like, fuck. And I didn't have a pen with me, so I couldn't fill it out on the spot and drop it off. And I didn't have the paperwork with the actual thing you got to write in for the pay to the order to thing. So I had to go back. But the point of this, I say all that to say this. There's a head shop that sells kava gummies in the neighborhood where my rental office is.
Uh-huh.
And I, as a little treat, whenever I have to go down to the rental office for something, I go and I get a little tweet. I go get a bag of I'm gonna buzz market some drugs here. Mystic Labs Kavatan gummies.
Oh,
kava gummies, premium kavatan extract.
What does kava do to you anyway?
Kava is like, it's kratom-ish, kratom-like, in that it gives you, you know, a little bit of focus. Like, you kind of zone in on stuff, as opposed to zoning out and becoming open. You sort of zone in and become a little more closed off.
Uh-huh.
And it gives you a feeling of relaxation. And it's great. And it's a lot of fun.
Yay.
And if you do enough of it, your skin starts to flake and peel off.
Fuck. Okay, yeah. So not that.
Don't do a whole bunch
not
of it.
Not that too much.
Not that too much.
But
learn that from my co-host, Donovan. What's that?
What have you been playing?
What have I been playing? The Elder Scrolls V Skyrim?
Pretty much just that, yeah.
A lot of Skyrim. It's so embarrassing when you get caught playing Skyrim again.
It happens to everyone is the thing. Yeah.
It's like as
Except
soon as
me. I redirect that energy towards like Billy versus Snake Man and shit like that.
As soon as the United States started to collapse in on itself, I was like, I'm going to Tamriel. Fuck this. Hail to the Empire. Let's go. My character has actually made any allegiances in the Stormcloak Imperial conflict at this point.
Because
both sides, you're like, fuck both of you. Like, you're both assholes.
It's fascists versus
ethno-fascists.
And like, there's a reason in the lore why one side is objectively the best to be supporting, because the literal universe is at stake.
Right.
But beyond that, it's a really shitty choice to have to make.
Yep. I mean, it kind of says it all when you're walking through Whiterun and you hear somebody go, Skyrim is for the Nords. And you're like, come on, man.
Right.
It's land. Land is for everyone.
Like, y'all are adapted to it, yes, but Khajiit have nice warm fur.
Yeah. Khajiit has fur for cold.
Khajiit has warm.
His warm,
succulent fur.
My name is Jazargo. I love Khajiit. They're great.
I love them so much.
I sat down and I watched the fucking cutscene that you have to watch. It's fucking 45 minutes of sitting there in a cart.
Oh, yeah. I remember the opening.
Fuck. And then you finally get there and you, like, you had thought about what you maybe want to build or like the kind of game you want to play this time. And I usually don't until I like make the corner into the courtyard.
Yep.
I just sit there and go, and then they make the corner into the courtyard, and then you get off of the cart and you go up and they're like, okay, what's your name? And you're like, character creation screen. And this time I went with a orc barbarian heavy armor kind of build, where I'm like, fuck yeah, heavy armor with a two-handed weapon. And I'm going to smith a bunch of stuff. And my name is Muldrotha, which is a thing from Magic the Gathering.
Hell yeah.
That's what I've been playing. Corla, what have you been playing?
I've actually been going through a whole bunch of my games. Because one, I'm restless and can't seem to fill in the biking urge with anything else. Maybe I'll pick up the Ring Fit. I don't fucking know.
Nice.
Or
Beat Saber.
Beat Saber, yeah. Do the fucking FF7 remake, like, pull-ups music.
yeah. What's the name of that?
Those Who Squat Together.
Yes!
Such good shit.
Fucking so hype.
We're over here improvising. Like
I'm sure the listeners love it. Black. See, we wouldn't get all pissed off at our friend of nearly 40 years for making a joke about somebody assassinating Donald Trump.
Right. But the reason I've been playing a whole bunch of games beyond just being bored as fuck and unable to stick to one is I'm trying to find stuff that Lilith would like. I wanna broaden her video gaming horizons. I wanna see if there's stuff she might be into that she's not familiar with yet. And so far, I have been unable to catch her interest with anything except Titanfall 2, which she's already very familiar with. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm just bad at this.
Well, that's the thing. Here's what I will say about your tastes. And this is...
Okay, shut the fuck up about my taste for just a second.
I didn't even get started, but go ahead.
Okay, because you've said this before, and... I have 26, 578.
Yeah.
Plus another 363, nearly 1,000 video games to pick from. A lot of which are not shit that I would normally play.
Fair.
It's a big library.
The things that you really love are from a slice of games that is very particular. And that's not a bad thing. Like, nobody's saying, like, oh, Corley, your taste in video games is bad. I'm saying, Corley, your taste in video games is from a different slice of pie than mine in a lot of ways. And so that's why we don't line up. And the same reason, that's why you and Lilith don't line up. But it's like, that's okay.
I'm aware, and I'm trying to go through shit in my library that's more in line with what I already know she likes, and I'm bad at it. Hitting. Is what
it's
I'm saying.
It's not that you're no. I'm gonna put give you pushback on that. It's not that you're bad at it. It's that it's a hard thing to do.
Yeah,
and something they talk about on Duck Feet all the time, who are sort of my video game, you know, like people that I respect their opinions on that particular medium. What they say all the time is that recommendations are poison. It's that you're trying to, you know, you're giving a friend homework. Nobody likes homework. And when you give somebody a recommendation, it's like saying over the other billion things in the world that you could play or watch or read, you should play or watch or read this next because I want you to. And it's like, but there's billions of things. And I want
this
to do
what I
want. This
explains a lot about how you take recommendations or even just requests to watch something together or play something together. It is absolutely not only if you're already interested in the thing will you give it the time of day.
I think that's fair.
I don't know. I feel like that's a way of interacting with the world and with the people who care about you and want to share experiences with you that makes it needlessly adversarial. People are competing for your attention because your attention is
all things
stolen
are competing
by
attention.
Companies at all times in every way they possibly can. But I'm just talking about like watching an anime with your girlfriend, just like a couple episodes to see if you like it. And it's always no.
Because the thing of it is, it's not just a couple of episodes. It's like if I'm in for one thing, I'm in for the season. You know what I mean? It becomes
you're not
the thing.
Capable of testing the waters on something.
It's the if it is, it becomes the thing that we do then. Do you know what I mean? Like if we end up watching an episode of something and I kind of like it, it's like the thing that we will then do for however long the thing goes. And it's I don't necessarily want to be locked in like that. We got to a weird place.
I just want to share the things I love with the people I love. And it's very difficult to do, and I'm bad at it, is all I was getting at.
Well, I'm trying to make you feel a little less bad about that. And failing. I guess I'm bad at that.
I'm just looking at the material reality.
Yeah.
It might be difficult, but I'm also not well equipped for it.
Okay,
on top of
that's
it
fair.
Being a difficult task in the first place. I'm just a terrible salesperson in general.
Well,
I'm bad at directing interest at the things that I care about.
I do sales for a living.
I know you do.
And I don't, but I don't try to sell things that I, you know, like I don't typically recommend media. I don't find
you do though. You DJ shit all the time. That's is that if not advertising the things that you like in a format that is appealing to people.
It is a discoverability tool. Like DJs
are. So is word of mouth.
I suppose that's true, but like, I don't know. I just don't feel. I don't like the feeling of, like, you hear this with like the film canon all the time. I have never seen The Godfather.
Me neither.
And if you say that to the right kind of person, like, oh my god. You have to literally drop everything right now and sit down for this hour and however long it is, 2 hour long thing that to this point has not interested you, because if it had, you would have watched it. You know what I mean? Like, if it had interested me, I would have sought it out. Like,
but would you have? I think recommendations are from people you care about and trust and respect the opinion of, are important because there is that much to sift through. Your eyes alone are not enough to gaze over all of it over a human lifetime. It does help to listen to the people around you and take in the recommendations they have. You can discard as many as you want, but you have to be open to them, at least, or you're just shutting off an avenue for discoverability.
I suppose that's true. Where I think where we clash on this, because obviously we're in the midst of a clash on this particular thing at the moment, is that I don't know. I wish that your recommendations for me specifically were more tailored to what I already engage with. Do you know what I mean? Like, I wish the things that you would recommend to me would be fewer slices of pie away from where I spend my time.
Mm-hmm. I guess a lot of it comes from the fact that with video games in particular, I have a very broad library of experience to work with. Doesn't matter the genre, racing strategy, fucking old ass isometric RPGs with Grognar, too much text.
Grognar shit, yeah.
Fucking old, like, isometric hack and slash. Whatever you want to throw out, I've played a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for the sake of novelty, I need weird shit. I'm the person who's had, like, a healthy sex life in their marriage for 40 years, yeah. And at this point, it's not worth it if there's not, like, a waffle iron involved. You feel me? Yeah. And so, to recommend something like, let's play some Borderlands, feels to me like putting on, like, a beanie with the propeller. You know, like, let's play Cops and Robbers.
Okay. So this is the meme that I think encapsulates what we're talking about. It's the iceberg meme with musical taste, right? It's like if you're into, say, like funk shit or like disco and house music. At the very top of the iceberg, there's Daft Punk, there's Michael Jackson.
There's radio music.
There's shit that has played on the radio, right? And you go a level lower than that. And then you've got like Sophie and Charlie XCX and all these and like other artists. And
the Daft Punk songs that don't play on the
radio. Exactly, yes. And then you go deeper and deeper and deeper to the bottom of the iceberg where you become unrelatable.
Where, like, right, people where you're just listening to whale noises
that
someone's drumming over and the drumming is distorted very heavily.
Right. But like, that to the right person rips, and they're like, they'll tell you, they're like, listen, you don't fucking get it. This shit is. And I feel like let's just take a look at your Steam library real quick. I could, you know, I could roast you right now, but I'm just going to pick like a random one.
Look at my activity. What's.
There were sequels for Way of the Samurai.
I guess so.
See, that I might play. or like, I don't know, like some of these do look good. I don't want to play Minecraft.
I know you don't want to play Minecraft. I know you don't want to play Factorio.
Yeah,
those may be big parts of what I play, but they aren't my only recommendations, and they certainly aren't like the mean, they're not the standard,
sure,
from which I deviate back towards stuff you like. They're on the pretty far end of things that I just really care about and took a big swing. You have been
trying to get me to play like Pathfinder games, like Kingmaker and shit, which is 100% my shit, and I like should get to and have been meaning to get to.
Or the Shadowrun games.
Yeah, no, for real. And I already own
aesthetically
Dragonfall.
You own it. It's aesthetically your shit. It's gameplay wise your shit. And because I recommended it,
no,
it's. There's
deprioritized. I feel like because you recommend
there is a contrarian impulse.
No, there's not. Okay, let's commit to this. You pick a game, I will play it. I will install it. I will play it. I will just to. I want to satisfy your impulse to share.
All right. Babe, put me on blast because I have something to aim back at you.
Okay. What is A Juggler's Tale? What is this?
I don't know. A lot of the stuff I have is just shit just from like,
yeah,
a fucking Humble
Bundles and shit.
No, look at my recently played or my perfected games, whatever.
How do I find that on Steam?
Go to my profile and go to games, I guess. Okay. I think I can give you the page.
View friends list.
Happy clicky clicky.
Don't dox Corla on the fucking thing.
Don't dox Corla or she will get very cross.
Okay.
She will have
okay.
To
all right. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Paranormasite, the seven mysteries of Honjo.
That game fucking rips.
Yeah, but what is it? Like, I don't have a concept of what it even does or who it is.
It's a visual novel, supernatural horror game.
Yeah, I ain't playing a fucking visual novel.
I know you're not going to play a visual novel. I don't know if that's worth roasting, though. Paranormasite was huge, actually.
It's Steam Deck verified, too.
Yeah.
Overwhelmingly positive reviews. 4,000 some reviews. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty well liked. Yeah, I'd say.
Yeah, so you're gunning for the wrong thing there.
Somebody, one of our listeners was just like, oh, you fucking stepped in it now, bitch. You fucking roast, you had to roast Paranormasite. You're so fucked.
Listeners, datatransferpod@gmail.com. Tell Audrey how wrong she is. Tell me, vindicate me, please.
I don't know.
And anything? Then, is there anything else in there you want to point at?
Well, looking at your perfect games, you've got Enter the Gungeon, which I did play some of, and I found that the win more-ness of it, or the kicking you when you're down of it all, was way too onerous, and I felt bad playing it.
Yeah, until the Dungeons and Dragons update, Advanced Dungeons and Dragons update, the game was insanely snowbally, and it still is, but nowhere near to the degree it was before. But yes, I absolutely understand that. However, it is also a very broadly popular game.
Yeah.
Super Hexagon, though. That one I am truly insane for perfecting.
Super Hexagon is supposed to be pretty cool, though, from what I recall.
It's really cool, but I can't recommend it to Lilith because of photosensitivity issues.
Sure. Oh, Chipsil did the music? Cool.
Yeah, Chipsil did the music for it. That's how I discovered her.
I have a Chipsil track on Spotify, I want to say.
I know you do. It's because I recommended her to you several times, actually. I've played a lot of her shit over time. Okay, recently played. Here's A House of Many Doors. Okay, I'm just going to give you some raw meat here to move things along, all right?
Okay.
House of Many Doors is a Sunless Sea-like set inside of an infinite house.
Okay.
That consumes, like, every room is another, like, universe or world that's been consumed and put into a little box.
Duskmourne. It's kind of Duskmourne.
Yeah. Duskmourne, but also you have what's called not velocipede. That's just an old word for bicycle. What the fuck is it called? Kinetipede. You have a fucking like little skittering multi-jointed like tank. Mm-hmm. Sort of deal, but instead of tank treads, it's got a little skittering. Like,
hey, wait a minute! I played Fuga Memories of Steel with you the other morning.
Melodies of Steel, that was pretty cool, but that also it's basically a fucking Ghibli game.
Ghibli's not even my shit. I don't know. You know, I've seen Mononoke and Totoro.
We gotta watch some Ghibli together when we're together. We watch Kiki's Delivery Service and you can learn how I transed my gender.
I would like that, actually. Because those movies are great for partnership. But like,
they are. But yeah, House of Many Doors is like several layers of obscurity down.
Yeah. So we're not gonna settle this here, I don't think, because we're at 25 minutes into the episode.
No, but I am gonna get my point in, which is that this bitch can't finish Undertale.
Bitch
killed Toriel, felt bad about it, and wouldn't touch it again.
I cried a lot.
I had to keep begging her to please play the 2-hour video game. This is how it ends up feeling adversarial or confrontational from my end. Because something as beautiful as Undertale has been such an undertaking. And you're not even done with your second playthrough where you went back.
No, because, well, okay, here's the thing. I don't feel competent in the gameplay loop of it, in the dodging the shit. I remember the last time we played it, I sat down and I died to like a random ass fucking enemy because I didn't want
to
eat.
Happens to anyone. It's not an easy game. Well, it's not an easy bullet hell, but it is a, or it is an easy bullet hell, but it's still a bullet hell, right? There is a skill floor, and playing it gets you better at it.
I'm fucking old,
and it's you're a little bit more than halfway through. Like, the trash mobs get tougher towards the end. It makes sense that you would mess stuff up. You're going to see the pattern again. You're going to get through it flawlessly and be like, huh, what? Why did I even have a problem in the first place? Just like a Dark Souls.
Mm,
you've done a Dark Souls.
I do love a Dark Souls. The thing about Soulsing the Dark and Borning the Blood is the aesthetics and gameplay loop of it to me are just so arresting. You know what I mean? You get your guy. You make your guy. I like character action shit. You get your guy. You get to pick your weapons. And then you run out in the world and you just murder. Fucking fuck you. And you kill him with a sword. That's what I like.
Fair enough. All right. I'm going to let us off the track on this one. It was just so fucking important to me that I confront you about this where people can hear me and tell me I'm right. datatransferpod@gmail.com.
Tell me I'm right. datatransfer@gmail.com datatransferpod@gmail.com tell me I'm right that recommendations are poison. Okay.
Digimon.
This episode is intense.
Hit the button.
Oh, what button?
There's no. Oh no, Champions is way later. No, yes. I'm a dumbass. Go on. Look, it's we're at for almost you, 30
okay,
minutes.
I will,
my brain just went.
Here you go.
Yay!
Okay, cool.
My champion was TK. We'll
My
get there.
My digital champion was also TK, and we will get there because this episode is entitled An Old Enemy Returns, or the Japanese version that we watched Composite Monster Chimeramon.
We got the boy. We got the Chimera boy.
I cannot fucking believe what I'm about to say. This section of the article is a stub. You can help by expanding it. What? This episode?
On this episode of all episodes.
Unbelievable.
Got lazy.
Yeah, TK, Cody, that would be Iori.
Iori.
Kari and Yole go out in search of the Emperor's base, leaving Daisuke behind, as neither of Vimon's armored Digivolve forms can actually fly. I kind of... didn't you think that Lydramon could kind of fly?
No.
He like, whoosh, he's always whooshing around and shit.
He'd do a big jump, but that's just because he's got a lot of horizontal speed that he can transfer to vertical if he wants to.
That's probably true.
He's a Mario.
That's probably, he's a Mario. Iori,
they want ice cream, they both say yes.
How in the hell? Iori finds an entrance underwater to the base. That would be the Digimon Kaiser's base. TK and Pegasusmon, along with Tentomon, find a whirlpool known as the Dark Whirlpool. It's the dark one.
It's the dark one. It is pretty fucked up, though. This thing gets sold throughout the entire episode.
Oh, yeah.
It's enormous.
What does TK say when he sees it for the first time?
What does he say?
He goes, Uzumaki.
Yeah, he does. Fucking Spiral. Fucking Naruto. Fucking Junji Ito. Fucking,
fucking
Naruto.
Naruto. Fucking Ito. Naruto.
Naruto. Something like truly that. Evil.
No, I'm not going to do the riff. I had a riff.
Don't do the riff.
I was going to be like, I will never watch Naruto ever in my life.
Yeah.
I was like, don't recommend Naruto to me.
Okay.
Okay.
Because I liked it in middle school, I can never go back to it is the thing, because I'll cringe at my past
I'm safe.
Too hard.
I'm safe.
You're safe on Naruto and Bleach.
Okay. Oh, that's good, because Bleach and
Shaman
One Piece
King.
Also... Shaman King I kind of liked when I was a kid. I could go back to Shaman King, maybe. But Ken notices the whirlpool tool and goes in. Whirlpool 2. Oh my god. Ken notices the whirlpool 2 and goes in, ignoring Wormmon's warning about there being evil in it. And there's a scene where the whirlpool has revealed itself in the ocean, which we notice that the towers, there's like a network of towers going out into the water towards the whirlpool.
Mm-hmm.
What are you Googling? What is happening?
Oh, I just wanted to see if A House of Many Doors had any, like, porn.
Oh, okay.
I was like, ooh, your segment new theme?
Your segment producing mid-podcast. But yeah, so there's an establishing shot of them going out over the ocean with the dark towers heading out into the sea. And Ken is like standing in the control room in the base and they're looking out over the whirlpool and Wormmon's like, nah, dog, don't do it, man.
Wormmon's like, look, I sense something truly evil.
Like really bad. Like you're doing slavery and like murder and shit. And that's,
I mostly
that's bad.
Haven't complained. That sucks. This
is bad.
Don't do this.
Don't do this one. This is extremely bad. Your soul, without saying, like, without them talking about the soul or like a stain on your like ethereal self, they're like kind of basically like, this is true sin. Right. The thing that they're trying, that you're gonna go vacuum up in a Mechanorimon. he's ignoring Wormmon's warning about there being evil in the whirlpool, and Ken dispatches some Mechanorimon out of a hangar in a very fucking cool shot. So they're like, there's this giant whirlpool going deep into the sea, and the base is hovering inside the whirlpool, like above the water of the whirlpool, but inside of the bowl of the whirlpool. And a hangar opens up and some Mechanorimon fucking...
It's so cool. I love when a hangar opens up and shit comes, like, fucking cool mechs, sci-fi shit comes out of it.
Particularly I'm mechs and shit. Here for it.
Mechs or tiny little, like fighter jet fighters.
Yeah.
Like in Beetleborgs. I love that shit so much. Or the big tank. Just like when the top of a thing just fucking opens up.
Yeah.
And you've got the mobile base that like stands up on four huge legs and just lumbers its way out, pointing its huge fucking cannon. Like
in Armored Core 6. Let's just make more machine noises.
Yeah. I love that shit.
It's my favorite shit. My favorite shit. But he dispatches the Mechanorimon who just like reach the event horizon of the evil and just tumble into the darkness and die.
Yeah, there's an event horizon. And as soon as they touch it, it's just whoosh, right
and
in there.
Wormmon's like, I mean, don't. he's like, look at like, that.
Was
look
that,
that
evidence enough? Can you stop now?
Can you stop? And he's like, nope, I can't. Can't do it. I'm going in. I'm built different. And Wormmon is basically like, what was the line where Wormmon says, like, because he's talking about like, because he's going, but this is not stated explicitly, but he's going in to get the final parts of Chimerimon.
Right.
And he's like, I will create the ultimate partner, unlike you.
Unlike, yep.
And Wormmon, what is the line? Wormmon says something and Ken like turns around and like kicks him in the fucking head over it.
I genuinely can't remember the line.
Yeah, bummer. You'll know because you just listened. You just watched the episode. I mean, we just did that too, but we're a little high.
Begin the TK and Patamon Trauma Power Hour.
Okay, so he ignores Wormmon's warning about there being evil in the whirlpool. Ken gets in a Mechanorimon and like jumps down himself and pilots the Mechanorimon down into the past the event horizon, and he isn't destroyed the way the other ones were. Kind
right.
of proving
presumably he's like using back thrusters the entire time.
I kind of pointed out that I think it's because Ken is digidestined that he's like kind of got a little bit of plot armor, but also like is
also
capable
think,
of things that others wouldn't be in the digital world.
I also think we find out that the evil in the whirlpool is sapient, or at least there is a creature at the center of it all. some kind of entity. I think it was just that it's interested in him, and it wasn't at all interested in the fucking servile robots. Yeah, it's like, fucking consume you, don't care.
Yeah,
you're a digi-destined. This is interesting.
And the evil's like,
he's like,
you don't know what you're doing.
He basically goes, if you're toxic, you know, fuck me. Fuck the rich? Probably not.
The evil is literally like, you don't know. The evil tells Ken just what Wormmon told him. The evil voice is like, you don't fucking know what you're dealing with. You don't know what you're doing. This is that real shit, that real deep, dark, evil shit. And Ken's like, and a vacuum comes out of the back of Mechanorimon and sucks the Devimon corpse. There's a Devimon corpse at the bottom of the
literally whirlpool. Like end of Devil Man, like upper half of a demon's body, just kind of floating there, lifeless.
Yeah, like bound. It looked like maybe it was bound at the torso.
Yeah,
maybe. Or those are the belts that are always around Devimon, but it's like it felt like he was being held there in the bottom of the whirlpool. And he absorbs the energy or the data or whatever of Devimon and goes back to the ship and uploads it to the mainframe where he's building the Chimerimon. And I guess he 3D prints Chimerimon. I don't know exactly how Chimerimon is created, but
I assume he coalesces the data of everything he's been putting together.
Yeah. And so he does that. And Ken finds the Devimon and extracts his data to complete his own Digimon Chimerimon. In the base, Iori and TK are releasing captive Digimon. So TK finds the entrance where Iori went in earlier, and Iori is there with Digimon now.
Like, just letting out all of like Puppetmon's goons.
Floramon and shit. Yeah. Letting out all the captured Digimon on the base, which I'm not certain. This seems like an ops place more than like a prison, but I guess it's like his personal. Like,
it's a massive mobile base of operations. I assume
it can have multiple purposes.
Yeah, it's like the indoctrination center and also the mobile center.
Yeah,
it's a garden, like we said,
like Balam Garden. Yeah,
yeah,
that's so fun when you get to drive that around. In
what is that if not a mobile indoctrination center?
Get them, get their asses.
Hey, teacher. Leave those kids alone.
Leave those seeds alone. Or CDs. I've heard it called both ways. Do you think they're called seeds or CDs?
Would you fuck with me?
Do you think they're called seeds or CDs?
Seeds.
Okay, that's what I thought too. TK gets mad. TK gets mad because of Devimon, which was responsible for Angemon's death 3 years ago, and that he was in the whirlpool, is what it says in the synopsis.
He senses its presence and he realizes
he like sees on a view screen. There's like a view screen showing what Ken's getting up to.
Yeah, he sees what Ken's getting up to and he's like, oh, you fucked up. Oh, this defeating him in the first place like took something from me.
Yeah.
And now you're just gonna play around with it like it's a fucking toy. I'm done with your ass. And he storms off after him.
Iori's like, dog, like, where are you going? And Patamon's like, I'll go with you wherever, TK. I'm behind you 100%. And Iori says to Digimon, he's basically like, no, let him. He's going to go deal with some shit. We're going to keep freeing people. Armadillomon and Tentomon, TK and Patamon decide to face Ken and Wormmon by fighting them, but this is not what happened because.
That's not how it goes.
No, because TK and Patamon go and track down Ken in the base.
And the rest of them are doing, like, rescue and evacuate duty.
Exactly. It says here, Ken faces TK but whips him. TK then punches him and brutally hits Ken. This does not sell the fucking dialogue here. It's so fucking good.
Your man's gets torn apart by TK.
Yeah, TK walks up to him and he's basically like, so you're gonna play around with Ultimate Evil, huh? What's up with that? And Ken's like, you're nothing to me. You're an insect. Insect, insect, insect. And he's like, is that all you can say to me, Kenichi Joji? Huh. You're nothing. You're the insect. and he whips him in the face, and fucking TK no sells the whip.
Yeah, him. Just takes it.
Patamon looks shocked and is like, and TK's just like, pain don't hurt. And says some of the hardest shit ever. Like, it's some of the hardest dialogue. But
yeah, he's like, okay, can't use your words, so you resort to violence. Then I guess it's my turn.
Yeah, and he runs over and he punches him in the face. I remarked just the way Matt punched Ty in the face.
Yeah. It's so good.
What if, oh my God, think about this. What if Ken had embraced the good side, like the light side, and become like a Digidestined like the other kids? He would have been the fucking leader.
Or co-leader. Like with
like
with,
he might have been the Matt, but I'm thinking that Daisuke would have been like the fuck up. You know what I mean? Daisuke wouldn't have gotten the fucking gogs.
No, yeah, good point.
Ken would have, because he's like the elite soccer player. He's the amazing academic. He would have led that fucking group, and Daisuke would have been like the bumbling, like sidekick to him.
Right.
Would have been like a less competent Matt, I think. And TK probably would have been Ken's second. And so this is the moment of TK like punch. It's basically like Matt punching Ty here.
You absolutely have a good point here. I hadn't thought of it that way. I was thinking about how Ken relates to Ty in that he stole Agumon and forced him into Skull Greymon form. And he's just continued down that same path of forcing power out of Digimon however he can. Like subjugating rather than befriending. And we saw how that worked out for Ty with the original Skull Greymon appearance.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it play out much over a much longer course of time with Ken here.
With much more disastrous consequences, because he like whole cloth creates this, like, because Chimerimon is not spiraled. Chimerimon is
not
just
spiraled,
evil.
Not controllable.
Yeah,
he just releases this man, and while it is kicking everyone's asses, it's also blasting holes all the way through Ken's base.
Right,
just
it's going to cost a lot of Digichromer to fucking repair that. So he brutally hits Ken. TK is beating the shit out of Ken.
Just
sitting on his chest, punching him in the fucking head.
Yeah.
However, when Ken sets Chimerimon on Yole and Kari, and where Nefertimon and Halsmon are defeated, TK ends the fight to go aid them.
Yep.
He's like, fucking, next time, bitch. He's like flipping him off as he's flying away.
Take the Digivice as a fucking trophy, my guy.
Throw it in
the
fucking ocean.
Yeah, throw it in the ocean. This bitch has proven he doesn't deserve it. And
what does Ken say? What does Ken say as TK is flying away?
He says insects.
Insects.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's a child
who
wants power and has no greater justification and has been pretending like he does because no one's been strong enough to confront him until this moment.
Yeah, and TK calls him out for that. TK's like, is this fun? Are you having a good time?
You having fun playing Dark Emperor?
Yeah.
Because it's getting old for us.
Right.
It's getting old for your parents.
We're getting tired of your shit. You better go home.
You got a life to go back to, my guy?
Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine being Daisuke and being like kind of a fuck up, can't get noticed by the girl you like? You've got the cool Digimon, and Vemon's kind of like carrying your ass on this team, to be perfectly honest. And Ken has everything that you would want. You know what I mean? Like, Yole's into him. He's a soccer star. He's like perfect academic and all this shit. And like watching him throw that all away to be this Digimon Emperor character.
Yeah, that's got to be infuriating.
You got to be so mad about that.
You know what we haven't mentioned this entire time, by the way? Mm. The fucking tram island.
Yeah, it's great. Okay, so fucking Daisuke is back, like, well, and like at the starting line of this episode, because
reluctantly crouched at the starting line.
He's running and running. But all of the other, like the flying and swimming Digimon, they all leave. They're like, we'll be back. Like, Submarimon is like swimming away towards the base. Nefertimon, Pegasusmon, they're all over there. Hulsmon, they're all over there looking for the base. And Daisuke and Vemon are sitting there like, oh man, fucking me. And he walks up to the shore and he goes, maybe we can chop down this tree and make a raft. And Vemon's like, that's a great idea. Daisuke pushes on the fucking tree and it goes.
And he leans against it like he's trying to rest for a moment. It just fucking chunk like a lever.
Yeah.
And the little chunk island he's on just veers off from the main thing.
And it seems like Daisuke's about to be like, what the fuck? When Vemon's like, don't question it. We're gonna get there now.
This is one of the things I loved about the digital world when we first started this. You remember the tree that was just a hologram?
Yeah, all the hiding trees tree.
Were real? The hiding tree. The telephone poles with a phone you can or booth with phones you can actually call, but they just give you nonsense. It's
cool.
I love the weird anachronisms of the digital world where technology is strewn about at random, powered by nothing, and a lot of what is natural is actually like some fucked up version of itself.
Yeah.
If you get close enough.
Yeah.
You can really ride dope. Inside a whale.
Yeah. Like Jonah.
Like get Jonah.
About it.
Like asparagus. Jonah was a prophet. Ooh, ooh, but he never really got it. Said the truth. Oh. You know what I'm never going to make you watch is...
VeggieTales?
VeggieTales Jonah movie.
I might be more interested in watching that because we could maybe go on Worst of All Possible Worlds to talk about it.
That would be amazing! I do have a childhood experience with VeggieTales, so...
Hell yeah.
That might be worth it.
I think, you know what?
But then I wouldn't be there for Cave Story.
That's true. We are trying to get you on for Cave Story. Because
they have cool people they can invite.
They just did FF7. Joe Kasabian. Yeah.
I know. I was listening to both parts of that and having a grand old time and also being like, oh, I wish I was there.
I wish I was there. Because so
they explicitly ask for like queer people and their experience with FF7 as part of their awakening. And I'm like, I have opinions. I'm gonna send in the email, obviously.
Yeah.
But like I wanted to be there.
Yeah.
But again, they're trying to get new folks, they're trying to spread things out. And yeah. That's completely understandable.
Oh, they can spread it out, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, they can spread it out. They can spread butter on toast.
What we just did, Abby Denton warned us about many months ago. She said, like, when you're a podcaster and you talk about another podcast, you sort of start to shrink into something like a duckling. Let's de-duck ourselves and head on back to Digimans.
Do you have any grapes? Waddle waddle.
Having discovered that the island he is on can move is all that it says about that.
Daisuke's fucking island adventure.
Daisuke's island adventure, like Hello Kitty island adventure.
Yeah, where he's discovered
which
an
got
island
a switch port
ride.
Did you see the Hello Kitty really? Island adventure got a switch port?
Fuck yeah.
I love, like, somebody knows the memes, you know what I mean? Like, they mm-hmm. must, they have to hire people at these companies now who know about memes and shit so that right. they can get money from the Hello Kitty Island Adventure switchport.
Yep.
Okay, but Daisuke helps Iori, Digimon, and Tentomon rescue the captured Digimon, while Pegasusmon creates a distraction long enough for him, Hulsmon, and Nefertimon to escape human partners. End of synopsis.
Note escape. Chimeramon just fucking no-sells everything that comes at him.
Oh, yeah.
And is just a fucking loose cannon once they leave and avoid his interest long enough.
I can't wait to watch the next episode. We should do that soon.
We should do that soon.
Fucking, there's a moment where they're, like, on the flight deck of the base. Like, where I want to say it's Pegasusmon is, like... Or no, it's Hulsmon is like skidded to a stop.
Yeah, he fucking
on the flight deck.
He ends up in the Yamcha death crater.
Yeah.
Just slides into it. It's
and rough. Off in the distance, like far away, like long distance away, long you see Chimeramon open his mouth. And then the attack sparks twice in his mouth and then fires off in this really cool. Like, they've been doing this in this season. The fucking Birdramon dogfight.
Yeah.
Where the Airdramon are like flying after Birdramon and like trying to shoot her down and shit. Like, oh my God. They're doing such cool. They're taking like military anime imagery and putting it into Digimon in very cool and interesting ways.
In fact, I was pointing out that the inside of Ken's base reminds me of Appleseed.
Yeah.
The kind of like machinery you'd see in that.
It's cool. They're taking just, a like, lot of
generally the 80s sci-fi anime kind of aesthetic.
Yeah, or like the way Gundam. Yeah, I was going to say the way the Mechanorimon came out of that hangar, they look like fucking Gundams.
Yeah.
They look like Zeon troops heading off into war. So cool. Corla, what do you rate this episode on a scale of rookie to mega?
Mega. Like big mega. This hard one mega. Gives me all the hits. Gives Ken all the hits that he is so richly deserved.
Oh yeah.
It's a delicious episode with the culmination of a whole bunch of arcs that have been pulling up to this point. And at least one that kind of just comes in for this episode.
Right.
Like, oh right, Devimon was a traumatizing experience.
Good point. Good point, show. Yeah, mega for me as well. The fight scenes are everything that I could have wanted them to be, really, mm-hmm. except for resolution. Like, there's no, like, nobody gets, like, defeated. But great fight choreography and animation, and the story beats are all there. Everything's there. Everyone has character development. Fucking awesome. Except for like, Yole and Kari and, like, the people who are barely in the episode. Yeah. Everyone else kind of gets to move forward a little bit, especially Ken and TK. So yeah, damn.
The double mega, that's a big wreck on episode 19.
Yes, go watch it. And now listen as we do this one.
Pussy two.
Porn time.
Pjorn.
Time for Pjorn. Oh yeah, we did our champions, didn't we?
That's TK. After.
Oh, okay. Well,
do you not know how the show goes?
No, it's been a while. We kind of missed a week.
A month.
We didn't miss it technically.
Right, we sat down to record.
Things did not work out for us.
Ordered. I saw him, Corla.
What?
I saw him.
You saw him?
Yeah, the one you posted just now.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so, I guess
chimeras
it's me.
Are our theme.
Right.
And a Draconicus right. is a kind of chimera.
Okay, well, this is this is Discord from My Little Pony Friendship is Magic.
Friends!
And he's so buff, and he has, like, an eagle claw for one of his hands, and, like, a lion claw for another one of his arms, and, like, a lizard leg, and, like, a lizard tail. And like a different lizard leg.
Like
and
a chicken leg.
Rippling abs.
Well-defined pecs, triceps, yeah. biceps.
Yeah, big fucking silver dollar nip-nops. And he is sitting in what appears to be like a parquet paneled wall, like a mid-century sort of aesthetic to this room where he is sipping a glass of wine and giving you those get over here and suck my cock eyes.
Yeah. He is exuding, like, confident Dom energy without saying a goddamn thing.
Yeah, he didn't need to say nothing to you. You can tell, by the way, his tooth is quivering. It's time.
His
big single tooth that sticks out of the front of his head.
With a long, like, starting point.
Yeah.
I don't know how to even put that. It, like, it would dangles have to, straight like, for a bit, and then it poofs.
Yeah, it's almost like it's tied lower.
Yeah, you know like I mean? It's braided.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. He's
I know
just...
a lot of I know a lot of strong, confident Doms who braid their beard. No, like I do. I worked at a Renaissance festival. Are you doing the next one?
Where are you doing the next one? Well, did you want to say more about Discord? Did you? Do you want to say more about his rippling physique?
I'd fuck him. I'd let him hit. That's fine.
Yeah. You're bi.
Yeah.
And that's a hot man.
Yeah.
Now look at this one.
This is more your speed.
This is my speed. This is Phelan from Dungeon Meshi, specifically after spoilers for Dungeon Meshi, specifically after she's been fused with the Red Dragon in the resurrection attempt. She is just tits out.
Beautiful tits. Beautiful.
Beautiful tits. She's got them golden feral dragon eyes. She's like, her upper half is kind of swung backward as if she has started running with the dragon half of her body from 0 to 60, and her,
like,
top half is just fucking
of her. Yeah.
Yeah, like whiplash. Which makes me imagine her running like Ed from Ed, Edd n Eddy. But no, she's looking like the top half makes her look like some kind of angel or archangel figure.
Yeah.
And the bottom half is just straight up a fucking dragon.
Yeah, it's like maybe she was like an angel and the wings have moved down from her back onto the draconic body.
Mm-hmm.
Infused in that way.
Yeah.
What was she before? Like, because I don't know this character.
She was just a person.
Okay.
She got fused in with the Red Dragon. I genuinely don't know where the bird elements come from.
Maybe it's like her spirit. You know what I mean? Maybe like she has the spirit.
She
of
wants
a bird.
To fly like an eagle till she's free. Pav, you are flying like an eagle.
Pav. Jay Giles,
but for real,
who did that? Who did fly like an
eagle? This is Caustic
Steve
Toxic
Miller Band,
and it's Steve you were Miller asking Band about did. The song, not the yeah. artist for the thing we're yeah. talking about.
Yeah, Steve Miller Band did fly like an eagle.
Caustic Toxic is the artist here, and it, okay. the art style reminds me of In Case, who is a fantastic erotic artist. I mean, does non-erotic stuff too, but holy shit, her porn stuff is hot, 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 hot.
I can tell because of the way those breasts are rendered, really, really well realized.
Yeah,
yeah, fuck
so yeah.
Yeah,
we've got our chimera theme pinned down. We have told and shown you pornography.
So now it is time for us to talk about our digital champions. Say it with me.
TK.
He do a punch.
He do a
punch.
He punch.
He
also just
the soul of the
man. Yeah, he punched the soul too.
Yeah.
I just fucking love that he takes a whip to the face and goes, all right, my turn. And
have you ever been
whips in at him?
Have you ever been actually whipped by like a bullwhip?
Yes.
Bitch hurts.
It fucking hurts.
Owie.
I still have a scar.
Yep.
It hit me like just below the tailbone. So I've had issues around my tailbone forever because of that shit.
It fucking sucks. It's like a really painful weapon.
Yep.
In
never,
Dungeons
never
and Dragons,
let your cousin
it does
show
it does
off
D4.
Their whip without
in Dungeons and Dragons it only does a D4, but it does about a D12 of pain.
Psychic damage.
But yeah, it's TK for real, because he cuts him down to Ken down to size and gives Patamon room to shine. Oh, honorable mention to Wormmon for like trying to fight. You know what I mean? For being
for standing up for Ken, even though he hasn't been empowered at all.
Right.
It's not hardened like Patamon, our fucking
exactly.
war potato.
They have this really cool moment where like fucking Patamon's like, you want to fight? And Wormmon goes, if you want to hurt Ken, then yes. And they both make a mean face at each other, but they're both the cutest little potato creatures.
Yeah, my note there is Angie babies.
the babies are Angie. And it's great. Great. Great episode. Great episode of Data Transfer, I'll say.
Yeah.
We did good. You know what we're going to do this time that we forgot to do like 3 times in a row?
We're going to shout out our patrons.
We're going to shout out our patrons on the DigiDestined tier
so
because
sorry
about that. We're not good at this. We're not good at this.
Maybe if we had a segment demarcator. What's the word I'm thinking of?
Like a drop for that?
Drop, yes.
Yeah, let's make a drop for Patreon shoutouts. Patreon? Yeah.
Patreon? Patreon.
Patreon. I love to say Patreon. We're going to shout out Asa Linson.
Bubba Nitro.
Gigi. Gigi. Gigi.
Jubilation Lee.
Maya.
Mish.
Nobody Newt.
Pablo Hummus.
Saturday's Claire.
Teresa.
This Penguin is a Cat.
And Waylon the Sprite Smith.
I want to give a double shout out to Asa and Nobody Newt for being new since the last time we did shout outs. So yeah. big shouts to you. Thank you for joining us at the Digidestined tier. You absolutely positively are the Digi and Armand. Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Let's do plugs now. Let's do promotionals. Corla, when is the next
post-coming? I don't fucking know. Gigi's been on a whirlwind tour.
Yeah, Gigi's been in fucking New Zealand. Will not
hand over the edit to anybody, so I guess never. I guess never. It'll come eventually.
I'm a messenger right now.
It's just been a long time.
How is the edit coming for the next PP?
PP.
I'm on that one, and I want it to come out.
That's right. Yeah, this is very frustrating for me, too.
Yeah.
But Post Ponies is, and will continue to be, a My Little Pony Friendship is Magic retrospective series that also tackles current events at the time of release. And as a result, is also a retrospective of American fascism.
Yeah.
It's bummer. Four trans women. We're all fucking bonkers. We're all weirdly horny in our own ways.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a grand old time.
Specifically weirdly horny in your own
if
ways.
If you like the porn segment here, that's just the whole episode, baby. As soon as someone gets the fucking swirly eyes, you're going to bet that me and Gigi are just going to be fanning ourselves like fucking Southern Bells on a fainting couch.
Oh, my lord. I do believe I have caught the vapors. If a police officer caught somebody hitting an elf bar, he might say, "I believe I have caught the vapors." Anyway, I'm gonna plug a little program called Radio Free Tote Bag. It's a show about relationships that you can find anywhere you find your podcasts or at rftb.me, where we do fun, goofy jokes, and we have some medicine with that sugar. You know what I'm saying? We have a little bit of sugar. Yeah, basically we give heartfelt advice to people, but we're also dumb as fuck. So it's fun. It's a good time. And you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/RFTB. Yeah, that's great. That's great, Corla. I'm so happy we did this. This was a banger of an episode. Thank you so much for being my partner and for being my partner for this show.
Hey, thank you too. I love you.
I love you. And thank you to the listener for joining us. It's important.
And for your patience.
Thank you so much for your patience. I can't wait to see the analytics on this one. Mwah. Mwah. Grocery.